Praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. The only one that's worthy is Jesus Christ. So many of those songs were talking about what the Lord has done and you know what he's doing. And I had something come to me. Well, really, it was yesterday evening. A lot of times the experiences I have with the Lord sometimes, honestly, is in prayer. Sometimes our prayer can be a confession of our need, right? Sometimes it is. Well, it should be. That's part of the prayer. Lord, help us. You know, Lord, forgive my sin. Lord, I'm coming near to you, and I need you. But he has promised if we come near to him, he will come near to us. And in this particular case, I just sensed my need, and I saw. I mean, I know everybody here's got flesh, and so if you got flesh and you're serving the Lord, you know what your flesh is all about, right? Yeah, it's not a good thing. And the thing of it is that someone said down in our men's meeting this morning, maybe it was Brother Ron that said it, you know what? There are no perfect men. They're not. There are no perfect ladies either. But invariably, we come short in some way, and we have to tell God about it. I don't know about you, but when I come short, I feel like I've got to say something or I'm going to explode. Because does the Lord see everything? Does he know everything? That's why he said, well, if you sin, you confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not just forgiveness, it's also the power to cleanse us, right? And, you know, this is a process that we're going through. And as we go through this process, we're going to encounter in us, our flesh, but thank God there's somebody else we encounter, Jesus Christ. And he has exactly what we need. And anyway, I got an area out there in the pine trees where I walk around, and I just said, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. And but there was two thoughts that came to my mind. I had walked around for a little while. One was this. You know, it says in Corinthians that God has made Jesus Christ to us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and wisdom, right? That God made him that for us. So if he made that for us, for him, and that's where we stand, and we stand in his righteousness, we are righteous. And we're righteous because he stands at the right hand of God interceding for us. You know, he is my righteousness. He's your righteousness. Does anybody here have anything to brag about or to say, I'm righteous without Jesus Christ? You cannot. That doesn't exist. All righteousness comes through him. But the other thing that I thought about was what the Lord told Moses. The Lord asked him, he said, if they tell me, if the people I go to ask, what is your name? The one that you're sending me to. You're sending me to these Israelites. And what if they ask, what is your name? Do you remember what his name is? What did he tell him? I am. He is, and because he is, and because he does not change, he has everything we need. He's in the I am in the moment that we're in right now, whether it's failure, issues, challenges, something you're praying for, he has the power right now. And every day, because every day, and we wake up and it's a new day, but God don't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But because he is fresh and he is real and he is Jesus, he has what we need today. And if you have an ongoing issue in your life that's maybe even a problem or something you're struggling with, don't judge yourself about your failure or yesterday. Look to him today. Because he is a God of today. He is the God of the now. And so there was two passages. Well, actually, I looked them up this morning. And after looking them up this morning, it actually meant more to me. You know what? When we read the Word of God, I tell you, there's life there. He is the Word. And, you know, the Word addresses everything that we will ever encounter. And the thing of it is, too, by the Holy Spirit, he can make that Word real to us. And that's when we need it. It's grace when we need it most. I mean, I find that the times the Lord speaks to me, it seems to be the most intently, is when my need is the greatest. But it makes that Word fresh and real, and I can apply it to myself. And not only that, if someone else is going through the same thing maybe I went through, I can say, brother, praise God, God is faithful. And that's what happens with everybody here. When the Lord helps you, he gives you something to help someone else with. It's never just for us. Anyway, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, there are several of the songs that are being sung this morning. It was talking about the gospel. I am so glad that the Lord he's an ever-present help. Is he not? He's also, it said he intercedes for us daily. Yes. If he didn't, how would we make it? Amen. There's just times where it's a little more evident than it is on others, but there's times he's interceding for us that we have no idea. He is faithful. You know, there's people that are praying for us and we don't know about it sometimes, but you know what? It's the Spirit that makes intercession. The Lord's put on their heart and they're praying for you, and it's like God praying for you. Praise God. That's something to be encouraged about. But in verse 18, the subtitle on this is Christ Crucified is God's Power and Wisdom. Okay, I'll begin verse 18. For the wisdom of the cross, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Do we need the power of God? And it's to those who are being saved. Salvation is a process. It is not a one-shot deal. If it is, I didn't get it. You know what? But it's not. And each one of us, I think more and more, are experiencing salvation when we need it. That's the kind of Christ we have. And it goes on, you know, there's so much said in here, but let's keep going. Okay, and then Paul quotes a passage from Isaiah. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. He's going to show right off the bat that just not by human effort, intellect, willpower, or anything else that this salvation comes. It comes through Jesus Christ alone. And it comes through the power of God. And that's why when the gospel is preached, if it's under the anointing, the word of God, you know what? They're words of life. We need words of life because we need the life giver. We need Jesus Christ. But when he inspires us, let's say it's just a simple scripture. What if it comes to your mind and like you're praying or just comes to you in the day? You know, it says the wisdom that is from above is peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit. You know when God speaks to you, right? There's the fruit of it. There's something that takes place that's different than just reading the sentence. Thank God that's the way his word is, and thank God that's the way he speaks. He's still speaking words of life. I believe what he said, that man doesn't live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's what's coming forth now. You know, that's why we need to be inspired by the Holy Spirit when we say something. Do y'all agree with that? Yeah. Okay. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, let me go back and start that one over. Jews demand a sign and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. If God tried to be foolish and he's not foolish, I mean, the fact that he's that strong. His weakness is stronger than anything we could ever muster up. It doesn't even come close. It's two different categories. It's God's strength or our strength, and that's why we need God's strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many influential, not many were noble of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, or the things that are nothing, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I mean, when we are serving God and looking to God, and all those who are children of God, do any of those children have anything to boast in themselves? Nothing. Praise God. It is because of him. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And that was one of the things that came to me last night in prayer was, Lord, you are my holiness. You are my righteousness. Lord, I trust in you. And I'm not going to compare myself to anybody else. I'm not even going to compare myself to what I would want to compare myself to as far as where I think I should be more spiritually mature, and I'm not yet. Lord, you're my righteousness. And I'm going to have to trust you. I want to trust him. He's the only one that we can trust. He's the only one that's going to bring forth the results that we need, which is what he's called us to. He called us to. Okay. The other part was this. It was about Moses. And if you would turn to Exodus chapter 4. When I read this, I saw it in a way I've never seen it. And I guess in some ways that's why I'm up here. Just I wanted to share it. Exodus chapter 4. Actually, let me read that part in Exodus 3 where the Lord, where Moses asked his name. Let me find it here. If somebody finds it before I do, just let me know here. 14, thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm almost there. Okay, I'll read 13 too. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And that's the other thing. The God that we're serving, the God that we're talking to, the God that we're looking to is an ever-present help in time of need. He is I am. Whatever you stand in need of, whatever it is, God has what you need. He's promised it. That's who he is. Anyway, let's go on to chapter 4. Okay. And you know, there's a little more conversation there with the Lord talking to Moses, but chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. This gets kind of funny here. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and Moses took off running. What would you do? You know, there's a reason for everything in the Bible. But who is it that you think of in biblical symbolism that you think of as a snake? Satan. Who was it that bruised his head? Jesus Christ. And remember, the rock that followed him in the wilderness was Christ. Now, he's telling Moses, I'm with you. And the thing of it is, when he's with us, he's with each one of us. When he's with us and he brings his presence with us, who can we trust? We have every reason to be confident, not in ourselves, but in him, right? Okay, Moses takes off running. Then the Lord said, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. He didn't say reach it out and take it by the mouth. Take it by the tail. I guess a good reason to take it by the mouth, because snakes can bite. Okay, so Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. You know, he had that rod, right, when he went in there. And the Lord had him use it everywhere. What did David say? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's rod, I mean, there is authority, but there's also watch care, right? I mean, and that's the thing is his authority is brought, when he brings his authority, he also brings his presence and his spirit. Jesus Christ is still meek and gentle in heart. And so when we talk to each other, even if someone has to come and correct me and talk to me, if they come to me, you know, with a fist, I may run like he did from the snake, or I may just get ticked off, you know. But it says for us, you know, when we go to each other, to go to each other in love. And meekness, humility. You know, we all need that because that's what we respond to. What if the Lord was not humble and meek with us? Will we survive? No. But he is. And I tell you what, his love is not only present, it's present here, you know, in the people because Christ resides within the people. Okay, next sign. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, And when he took it out, the skin was leprous, and it became as white as snow. You know, something else that came to me here, I know something was said recently about healing. I think maybe Brother Phil mentioned it last week. You know, one of the things about healing and one of the problems with healing or it being spoken about so much by certain ministers, there's a focus, an undue focus that goes toward the healing and not the healer. Okay, and so anytime the focus gets off of Christ, there's a problem. There's an error because Christ doesn't lie, and we need him. We need to be guided by his Spirit because can he still heal? Absolutely. And you look, there was a reason that it was leprosy when he pulled his hand out. Do you know one of the things that you see, one of the healings in the sickness you see healed, whether it was healing in the Old Testament or New Testament, was leprosy. Remember when Jesus told the 10 lepers? He said, you go show yourself to the priest, because they had to show themselves to the priest. The thing about a leper, if he was an Israelite, he couldn't go in the temple. Does the Lord want us to have fellowship? When those people were healed of leprosy, they were brought back into fellowship. You remember in the wilderness, when someone had leprosy, they had to go outside the camp. They were unclean. And in the case of healing and the healing of leprosy, it was a need. You know, the Lord, he does all things well. But there's a time where there's a practical aspect of healing that's needed for that individual, right? Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Could she have gone to the temple and worshiped? No. God healed her. You know, he restored her and he restored her to fellowship. But I just had that thought. Okay, now God said, put your hand back in your cloak, he said. And so Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Kind of sounds like Naaman, doesn't it? When Naaman's flesh is restored. But once again, Jesus was the rock that followed him in the wilderness. Is he a healer? He is. And he brings everything he is with him in his presence. And that's why when we have him and we're led by him and moved on by him, we have the thing that others need. It's the life of Christ. Because embodied in Christ is healing if it's necessary. It's everything we need. I tell you, the greatest, I thought about this morning. Anybody here that's born again has received the greatest miracle there is. You have been raised from the dead. When it said, when you were dead in your trespasses and sins in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God raised you from the dead. And he also said, by his stripes we are healed. We're going to all have all ultimate healing one day. But thank God, we have got the healing that matters now. It's called salvation. I thank God for that. One other thing. Okay, then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it onto the ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. I tell you what, you know, again, this is Jesus. You know, his blood will never lose its power. And you remember when he died on the cross and they went, they came out there. And, you know, the crucifixion was gruesome. But, you know, they came out there and they were going to make sure they're dead by a certain time. And so what they would do, they came out there to break their legs. Because if someone was up on the cross, and what they did is their feet were supporting them and they're holding themselves up because the weight was almost suffocating them. And so when they broke their legs, they would sink down and they would suffocate and die. Are y'all encouraged? Anyway, when they came to Jesus, they were surprised he was already dead. Was he 6 hours on the cross? I mean, they were surprised that he has already died. But in order to make sure, a soldier reached out with a spear and just right in his side, and water and blood ran out on the ground. You know, I just see the Lord in this and those signs he gave him. You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus was with him. And the Lord is so wonderful. He has provided for us healing, salvation. He's wisdom. He's everything. He is precious. Our God is precious. I'm going to read just a few more verses here, and I'm going to sit down. Okay. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since. You have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Now he's making excuses for himself, saying, Lord, you got to get somebody else. But remember back in Corinthians, not many mighty. Now, he was of noble birth in some ways. He wasn't, but then he was because he was raised in a, you know, in a palace. And yet, God got a hold of him, and God humbled him. The Lord said to him, who gave, and I'm sorry, let me go back. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? That shows you right there, even with someone's physical affliction, there is no physical affliction that the enemy can bring that doesn't have to go through the hands of God first. God is over all. Who gave them sight or makes them blind? Look what the Lord says. Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. I think I'll just close with that. But if you look at what was said in Corinthians, you know what is most important is the gospel that is active in our life is full of power. And it comes through people that are weak. They're nothing. If he chose the things that are nothing to bring to nothing the things that are, it's God who is working in that vessel. We are all conduits for the gospel and to give to others. And I know this is simple, but I am thankful that just as the Lord led Moses, he is leading us. And he wants us to realize that we are complete in him. He is our righteousness. You know what? He's our forgiveness. What does it say? A righteous man may stumble seven times, but he gets up. If you stumble and you fall, get back up. Jesus Christ loves you. And he wants you to be encouraged and you keep moving forward. He is everything. He's our righteousness, our sanctification. You know what? What does Hebrews say? Both he that sanctifies and them that sanctified are one family. For this reason, he's not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. We are part of his family and we are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's the family to be a part of right there. I can't even imagine what we're going to experience in heaven. But I know one thing, part of heaven is right here. And he told us to pray that his kingdom would come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there anything holding him back in heaven? When our lives are completely yielded to him, you see more of the kingdom of God come here. And that's what he told us to pray for. And I believe that. I believe that I've heard a lot of conversations lately. We had some in our deacon and elders. We had some this morning. Look, the Lord is doing a work in us, and he wants us to be sensitive to his Holy Spirit. He wants the body of Christ to grow up. That's the reason for the gifts, is to grow us up and to function as a church the way we're supposed to. And that's for every assembly where God is, right? Nobody's arrived, but you know what? He has, and he's there, and he's helping us. And it's not by our might. We don't have any. If we're honest, we're weak, vulnerable individuals who need Jesus Christ. Is that true? But he's there, and I praise him.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad the Lord uses weakness. As I've said many times, that's all I got. But that's all any of us have, truly, when we really realize it. You know, Steve mentioned that he had some thoughts that he felt like the Lord wanted him to give out, and I appreciate the simplicity of it. All that Christ is and all that he's done for us, we have everything we need in him, and it is a process that we're undergoing today. And I mentioned to Steve that I had had some thoughts too, and most likely they were for me, which is certainly true, and I was very willing to sit there and listen. So if there's anybody that really you got something burning, you're welcome. But I'll go ahead and share one I had. All scripture ties together, and even though it may seem like I'm going to approach this from a slightly different angle, I don't think so. You know, Steve mentioned becoming conscious of needs. Is that not a part of the process? How do we make progress if we don't think we need it? So anyway, my thoughts came from the beginning of 1 John. And John is writing to believers, probably in Ephesus, in that region of the world. Toward the end of his life, he ministered in that region before the book of Revelation was written. And John makes the point at the beginning that what he's going to share is not based on hearsay. He didn't go to school, didn't read it in the book. He had walked with the Lord. He had had a personal hands-on encounter with divine life. He knew what he was saying was real, and that's what he wanted to impart and to help us to understand what that means and how that plays out. And so he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. Now, you remember what John wrote in the beginning of his gospel? In him was life, and the life was the light of the world. There was something that God wanted to make known in among human society, and it was the life that literally was in his son. It wasn't a new religion. It wasn't a bunch of theology. It was, hey, this is my life here. You got a certain kind of thing you call life here, but this is what's real. This is what I want you to know about. Okay? We proclaim to you the eternal life, the only life that's capable of surviving and living it forever, all right, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Now, so why? We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. Now, a lot of this I've repeated, I guess, in the past, but fellowship is something we think of as an activity. Like we're going to, a bunch of people get together, we're going to have fellowship. And basically we're sharing an activity, we're communicating with one another, and we're expressing our like for one another and all those kinds of things. But this is deeper than that. You know, my hand and my two hands have fellowship with one another. Okay? It wouldn't be good if they went knocking each other. They have fellowship with each other. But the fellowship is not simply an activity, it's a relationship, isn't it? They both are part of me, and they are connected to me. There is a life that is shared. So you can have fellowship in a sense. We can have fellowship today with Brother Kumar, even though he's in India. But we share a common spirit, and the same spirit that is here among us is with him today. It's probably evening time there. He's having an evening service somewhere. So, Lord, bless him. Strengthen, pour out your spirit upon him. But there's a living connection that God has established, that God wants to make real to our hearts, so that we see ourselves not just as a collection of people who share a particular religious tradition or happen to meet in the same building and know one another and like one another, but there's a living connection. God, if God lives in you and God lives in me, we are connected as much as the different parts of my body are connected, okay? And again, it's not just a connection. You know, you could look at a cadaver. You know what a cadaver is? Dead body that they may lay out and study or whatever, or it's in the morgue. It's connected. But there ain't no life. What God wants is a living, operating life shared. It's the life of God shared, okay? So that's what he's getting at, all right? And we're telling you all this so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. This is not just a human thing. This actually connects us to the God of all gods and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom he has done everything and provided everything. Praise God. Don't you see these connections? We're the body of Christ, okay? We're not the head. He's the head. But we are meant to be connected to the head, to get our instructions from the head, to walk in harmony with the head and the head's purpose. We're not to operate independently. There's a living life, a fellowship. That's what fellowship is really about, okay? It's a life that is lived out, all right? Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So what John is getting at here is what this relationship that we have with one another and with God, what is it supposed to look like? How does that work out in our human lives in this world? All right, so that's really, this is the foundation of that. Without this, all you've got is just a religion and a whole lot of doctrines and ideas. This is a better way to get through life than that is. Well, we're not trying to compete with anybody's philosophy here. We have one source of truth and life, and that is God Himself and what He has revealed through His Son. It's either that or it's something else. All right? And I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this, and then I'm going to go back through. This actually will quote part of what Steve quoted at one point. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. What a comparison, light and darkness. And so the message, first of all, is let's talk about this one with whom we're supposed to have fellowship. He is light, and there's no darkness at all. You know, in human society, we'll talk about somebody and say, yeah, they're a good guy. They're not perfect, but they're basically a good guy. Well, God is a whole lot different than that. He is absolutely unadulterated purity in every possible sense. There is nothing hidden in Him. All right? Everything is clear. And that is what God wants to bring us into harmony with. If we're going to be in fellowship with somebody who is pure, obviously there are implications as to how that affects us and what He is doing in us, okay? And so that's the beginning. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Okay, not the smallest amount. So the immediate implication of that is what He follows with. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. So you have these two opposing forces, if you will, light and darkness. And it's obvious, it should be obvious that the world is in darkness. That comes out in many places in the Scripture. You know, I was thinking about darkness, and we are prone to think that darkness is simply the absence of light. But is that all of it? You know, I remember one time Sue and I visited one of the caves out in western North Carolina. It may be the only one you can actually get into, I don't know. But they had a walkway built into the place, a place where a guide could take you kind of back into the cave pretty good. And there were lights strung along it. And one of the things that the guide wanted us to experience was darkness. So we got back in there and he said, all right, every light out. Whoa. Being in a dark room is nothing compared to being in total blackness. Man, that was scary for a bit there. I couldn't imagine being in a place like that and not having a source of light to even find your way around the cave you'd be feeling. So anyway, of course, it wasn't really that long, we had the lights back on, but that was an experience. But you know, that's not what this is talking about. Darkness is not the absence of light. It is the presence of an evil force. You know, there would be a difference in being in an environment like a cave or like a room where there's no light. That's one thing. But if that room is filled up with black smoke that literally fills the atmosphere of that room, that's a whole different kind of darkness. That's what this world is about. That's the world you and I live in. You remember when Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of this present world, the spirit that now works in the... Anyway, I'm confusing a couple of scriptures. But it talks about this present darkness. the rulers of the darkness of this world. Folks, there is a power that absolutely envelops human society. It blinds their eyes. It blocks their ability to even see the truth. And yet the darkness of this world masquerades as light. All right? Satan says, this is the way you realize your dreams and your potential and your destiny. Go this direction and it will bring you there. And he fills the minds of men with their illusions of what they supposedly are seeing and what's worth chasing and the ideas that are worth embracing and all of that. We see it everywhere. There is a real power that is at work. And so it should be obvious, of course, if somebody says, oh, I've got this relationship with God, but my life is just, you know, like the world, and I'm living according to its values, obviously that's not right. There's a deception going on there. But John isn't writing to unbelievers, is he? And this is kind of what got my attention. He says, if we, all right, let me go back to where it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. You suppose that might affect us a little bit? Do you think that God's light is a good thing? Oh, yeah. I mean, here you have two ways to live. You can live in this darkness and the illusions that God that Satan puts in people's heads, or we can live out here in light. But the thing about light, you can't hide. It shows up everything. And, you know, human society today is all about feeling good about yourself. And we are all pretty good in this process that Steve was talking about of salvation. We are being saved. Doesn't mean that it's not trying to put an element of doubt in there. It's merely talking about the fact that salvation has a beginning, but there's a growth to reaching maturity. Just like a baby is born, it has human life in it, but it's still got to grow. Well, if we're born of God's life, that's real. You can't kill that, but it does have to grow. And we are all in that place. And I have to look in the mirror and say, Lord, have mercy. There is a whole lot of me that really doesn't want to quite get out in that light. It's kind of scary. Anybody here that doesn't have that sense sometimes when you think about, oh, God is light. Oh, yes, Lord. Bring it on. Shine on everything in my life. You see where the needs come. You know, it was recently mentioned about people being stuck. How many of you think that we're stuck because God's just holding out on us? Or do you think maybe we're walking along and there may be areas of our lives where there's a need? And maybe he wants to shine. You know, we're kind of, the light's over there. We're going to follow him, but we're going to kind of slink along a little bit in the shadows. We don't want to really get out there where it's too bright, because then we'd feel bad about ourselves. And we have to face this or face that. Or we'd have to say, oh, I see what the problem is. Oh, God, help me. But we don't really want to face it. A lot of it's pride. We would rather just believe the right things and go to church and be basically a good person, whatever, you know, as we think of that. But, oh, God has got to get beyond that. Where is God going? Why has he given us this relationship, this life, if it's not to grow up to be just like him? Well, we're not like him, are we? In more ways than we would care to admit. We walk in pride. We certainly walk in fear. Boy, it's gotten quiet. You think maybe that there's just a little bit of that in all of us, where there are areas where we just don't really want to get out there, or, and we're actually, the Lord's wanting us to have this relationship, and we're standing back and we're saying, okay, I'm yours, Lord. I'm with you on this. I'm with you. You know, I noticed that This lying and doing and not doing the truth, first of all, it talks about living out the truth. That tells you that this relationship is not just a static on paper kind of thing. We signed on the dotted line, so we're in. This is a life that is meant to be lived out. This saving process is an actual way of life that God is seeking for us, for me. Okay? And so that's the issue. You may say, I've got this relationship with God, but is that what is being lived out? Or are there areas of your life where what's coming out of you is not me, but it's still you? You see the issue that he's getting at. And I noticed something very interesting about the lie. We lie. A lot of interesting things in verb tenses in the Greek, and I know I've thrown them out at you before. Of course, this walk is obviously present tense. That means that's a continuous thing. But the lying has a sense in it where it's not like I'm lying to you. I'm lying to myself. I'm thinking a certain way, but it ain't true. But I'm living with a certain amount, a certain illusion about who I am and where I'm at. You think that just might have something to do with being stuck sometimes. When there are things that we don't really see, but we don't really want to see them. There's so much a part of us that we make excuses, we hide, we deny, we 1,001 alternatives to just stepping out and saying, yes, Lord, I'm not going to hold anything back. I need you to shine the light anywhere it needs to be shined. That's what God's looking at, looking for. And Lord's had to call my attention to things in my heart this morning, every day. That's part of living this life. If we are, well, let's go on with what he says. He says, if we walk in the light, okay? So what God wants us to do is to have an open relationship where I understand if I'm going to be in harmony with him, I'm going to agree with his purpose, which is to call me out of that darkness into his light. And notice that how Paul speaks of that darkness. He says, we're rescued from the dominion of darkness. Darkness will rule over us if we don't experience the power that Steve was talking about. I need divine power to help me to live any different than anybody else in this world. If you don't have, of course, that's called grace, isn't it? If we don't have that, we just are on our own and we're hopeless. But thank God for what he's given to us. But now we're called into his kingdom. We've been joined to him. He's come to live in the heart that has opened, has been repentant and believed in him. And he's come in to reside and live. And now we're born of his spirit. That's the foundation of it all. But now what? And that's what John is getting at. What God wants is us to walk in the light. Walking is a lifestyle. It's a process where I am constantly coming into contact with things where I have a need. You know, we kind of shrink from that and say, Lord, it's enough. I've got this far. I'm good. I'm good, Lord. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with that. That's just me, Lord. Lord, I'm so glad you're gracious. And of course, people misuse grace to think that God just accepts us without wanting to change us. He loves, and he loves us enough to want to change us. Because sin is a power. Darkness will destroy everything that it lays a hold of if we're not delivered from its power. God help us to come into this relationship where we're walking with him. Walking with him is not, I mean, I realize the scripture uses race, but a walk here seems to be exactly what the Lord was trying to talk to me about. I think this was expressed in the meeting today. I don't have to sit there and worry about, oh my God, I'm not down the road. Oh, all these issues, all this. No, just walk. Life is a step at a time. All God is looking for from me is to look to him with an honest, open heart that wants his light to shine, even when it shows, especially when it shows that I have a need, okay? And I'm supposed to walk in that, and I'm supposed to just take the next step. So all I have to worry about is what's right in front of me. Boy, that takes a lot of the pressure off, doesn't it? Isn't that what Paul said? I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm reaching for what's before. I'm pressing on. Yeah, there's opposition, but I'm just right. I'm in the moment. You know, that's a popular expression, living in the moment. But isn't that what the Lord is looking for from you and me? Every one of us is in a place in our lives where He longs to take us further. And we would love to find a shortcut. We would love to find a jumping off point and say, praise God, now I've got it. No, we're going to have to take a step. And there are going to be things that are going to come out of my spirit that God's going to, I'll say, now it's time. Now it's time. You've lived with this all your life. You've put up with it. Maybe you were hurt. Maybe you were injured. We've talked about these kinds of things before, that there was trauma in your life and it's still affecting you. Let's shine the light there. No! Let's just deny it ever exists. I'm going to smile and pretend everything's okay. That's human nature, folks. That's one of the devil's tricks to hinder God's people. All He wants me to do is to bring everything into the light and say, Lord, show me the truth. Because that's what light does. That's the thing about God. Wherever He shines anything, wherever His influence is, you're going to see stuff as it really is, not as the devil would like to paint it. Now, which do you want? You want something that's going to enable you to lie to yourself and say, I'm okay? Or do we need God to shine the light of truth? Oh, praise God. I need His light, don't you? I need it. And if we're really in this fellowship relationship, if the harmony exists between me and God, I agree with His purposes. I understand in greater and greater measure what He's doing in me and how He's doing it. I know it's not my power. I know it's His. I know I've got to learn and I've got to face things and bring them to Him. As we walk in this, God is going to absolutely do His work. But you know it's going to affect everything else too. What about other people that are undergoing the same thing? So this affects that too. God wants to bring me into a fellowship relationship with you. And it's exactly like has been said. You know, God's going to be doing things in me that are going to enable me to help you and vice versa. We're everyone going to be channels for God to pour His life and share His life, and it's going to go out here, and there's going to be a relationship. It's getting stronger and stronger and further from Satan's reaches. That's what we need. We need God. We need Christ in His presence, in His people, in the midst of this present darkness to dispel those black clouds of lying and deceit that are holding people in captivity. There needs to be a light that shines in this present darkness. It's not our denomination. We don't have one, by the way, but it's not our theology. It's not any of that. It's not us. If we don't have Christ in us as our hope of glory, what do we have? We just need more of Him. But I wonder how much more there could be in us, more freedom we could enjoy if we would let the light shine, if we would really walk in that light. That's a daily kind of thing where God's going to show me stuff and it's okay. We think of that as a scary thing and we imagine that the devil would try to paint that as, oh my God, anything but that. Lord, I'll go along with you, but I don't want to get out there where I really have to face all of this, because then what are you going to do to me, Lord? Why are you shining your light so strong in my heart? Aren't you? You're going to just, oh, Lord, what are you going to feel about me if I admit that? Well, it's not like He doesn't know. He knows everything about us. Said many times He knew what He was getting into when He sent His Son to the cross. Oh, praise God. But you know, we think of Him in human terms. If we had to come before somebody and they found out everything about us, oh my God. But I'm so thankful that the purpose of this relationship is not so that He can come down on us. I thought about something John says later in this book when he talks about perfect love casts out fear. And where does fear come from? Fear has to do with punishment. Well, what does punishment have to do with you broke the rules? Going to have to punish you. That is not the purpose of God's light. The purpose of God's light is to show us needs so that we will be honest about them. But then what? We bring them to Him. We recognize He has made every provision for this. I have strength that I don't have to overcome in this area, to face this and to bring it into the light. And so, is it any wonder that John continues with that verse about walking in the light? With this and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So obviously, this is not a sin-free condition. This is a condition when things that are wrong that God needs to correct are going to come out. But we don't have to be afraid for the Lord to shine His light any place in our lives. And you know, my mind, of course, jumped to chapter 4. I don't think I'm going to go over there and turn to it. But John's language is so simple. God is light. But what about the other part of it? God is love. So when God is calling us into a place that is brilliant light that shows every possible thing that's wrong with us, and He's saying, don't hold back, don't stand back in the shadows and hope for the best. Come out here. I'm going to show you things. But I'm doing it because I love you, because I have made complete provision for this thing that you're going to find. And you're going to come to a place of greater freedom in your life. I'm going to have more freedom to live in and through you. It's a pathway of deliverance and help and strength. There's never any cause for us to be afraid to be in God's light. You think about how human beings reacted in the Scriptures when they came. Isaiah, we pointed out many times, but John himself. Remember his reaction when he, who had known the human Christ, suddenly is in a vision and he sees the glorified Christ. He falls down like a dead man. He is utterly overwhelmed. But do you know God is working in us to the point where the purity of our hearts and our lives can live in that and be completely in harmony with Him, with peace and joy? You think there just might be some areas right now in our lives where God's wanting to say, you know, come into the light, walk in the light. Let this be your lifestyle, to get up in the morning and look to Me with an open heart and say, Lord, shine it wherever it needs to be shined. God, give us the grace to get over the fear of that. Because He longs to set us free. His whole purpose is to set us free. And He's made all the provision. Of course, then we say, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. There's this self-deception going on again. Oh, God, help us to be willing to say yes. We're so quick when something happens to point the finger. I'm okay. They're the ones who messed up. When we need to be saying, God, search my heart. Search me and try me, O Lord. You think of David, who was a man after God's own heart. It wasn't that he was always trying to point the finger whenever something was wrong. It was when God said, thou art the man, through the prophet, when he had sinned. There was a repentance there. That's why the Lord goes on to say, if we confess our sins, we pointed out many times, confessing means to agree with, to say along with. It's like going before the judge and the prosecutor says, you're guilty of this and that and the other, and we say, absolutely, I am 100% guilty. I stand before the court without any defense. I'm guilty. Wouldn't it be good if we could have that kind of a heart towards the Lord while realizing at the same time He's not calling us there to get mad at us or condemn us or beat us up? But He longs to pour out upon us the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I wonder how dirty some of us are. You know, walking in the darkness is one way to put it, but sin has a way of defiling in the sense of like it's like dirt. That's one way to illustrate it. And I wonder how many dirty Christians there are. I dare say we all are in one way or another. And we have need of being cleansed. And here's the Lord saying, I long to cleanse you. I want you to be clean and free. But you're holding back. You're hanging back in the shadows. And I want you to come out and say, Lord, cleanse me. And don't worry about yesterday or tomorrow. I want to wipe out yesterday. I can wipe you so clean. It's just as if you had never sinned in the first place. I can make you clean and free. And then we can look to the future and you can realize I'm still going to show you stuff. I'm going to bring you face to face with other needs in your life as we grow. But you don't have to be afraid of that. Because you know I'm doing it so I can set you free piece by piece by piece. Dirt's going to happen, but I've got the perfect cleanser for it. This is the cleanser, the end all cleansers. Praise God. If we confess, if we agree. And you know, I'll stop and say this. I've read some things along this line that I think are great. I'm not going to try to rehash them, but we have a culture that has lost its sense of sin. There is that which is right. There is that which is wrong in God's eyes. And it's not just what makes me feel good and seems okay to me. That's what's going on in society. It's all about me feeling good about myself and okay and my life direction. It's my truth and you can have your truth. I'll tell you, there is a standard. God has declared things that are right, that are in harmony with his loving purpose. They're not just arbitrary rules because he can impose them on us. They are the way things work in this universe. They are the moral order by which heaven itself is run. Oh, everything is in harmony there because there is no sin. Sin is just self seeking something for self in whatever form it is. And God wants to bring us to a place where we don't listen to society and what they say. Nor do we jump in the other ditch and point our fingers and get angry about stuff. We need to look in the mirror and say, God, deliver me. God, help me to have the loving heart of Jesus who could look at a sinner and reach out in love and mercy. But also, we need to consider ourselves, even when we are called to help a brother who's overtaken in a fall, what do? We first consider ourselves, recognizing, I have a need too. I'm not doing this looking down my throat at what's the matter with you. I'm saying, oh, brother, you've been caught here and you need some help and I want to encourage you. I want to show you the way. I want to show you the heart of Jesus and what he's done for you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. This is justice that God is meting out. It's justice because the punishment for your sin and mine has already been poured out. You don't punish sin twice. Do you know why this world is going to be judged? Is it because they sinned? I'm not going to try to take this too far. But John himself, Jesus actually, I believe, said this to Nicodemus. This is the condemnation. This is what's wrong with the world. Okay? Light has come into the world, but what was the problem? But men were sinners. No, they were born sinners. But men loved darkness rather than light. It's when God makes himself known and people choose their sin over, he's made a way for it to be erased. Justice has been served. But men say, no, I will have my sin. I'm going to follow my own way. It's my way. You don't have any right to tell me what to do. That's why this world is going to be called into judgment. All right? He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank God. Thank God for the truth. But the thought, in the heart of the thought was light and darkness, The difference between God and everything He stands for, His being, His presence, His purpose, and the world, inspired by the wickedness of Lucifer himself, that has absolutely blinded and captured the hearts of people who live according to the demands of their flesh. And God is calling us out of that dominion. It has no right to rule over us. In the process, we're going to have to take step by step by step with Him every day, always with the idea that this light is going to show stuff that's wrong with me. It's going to show needs. But that's not a pathway to constant, oh my God, here we go again. It's not that kind of a heart. It's God is bringing me here so He can set me free. He's letting me know something so I can enjoy the salvation that He provided through Jesus. Praise God. Lord, bring the light on. You know, I'm not sure I can remember all the words, but I remember a song that our ensemble used to sing. I have wandered and strayed like a sheep from the fold. So long I have sought my own way, something like that. Please be patient while I'm learning to live by His life and walk close beside Him. Thank you. Other members can remember bits and pieces. Lord, please shine Your light all around me. And I get, what's the next line? Lord, please shine Your so that I will be sure to see. I'm just a child who wants to be what You'd have me to be. Lord, please shine Your light on me. I thank God some people got their memory back, or memory. But anyway, thank God. But do we really feel that way? You know, these are things that are easy to affirm. Yes, I need to walk in the light. But on a day-to-day basis, that simply means God's going to be bringing us into situations where He's going to say, wait a minute, what about that? What about that attitude? What about that choice you just made? What about this? What about that? He's going to have to shine His light on these areas progressively. Aren't you glad He doesn't do it all at once? But He knows exactly, as a loving Heavenly Father, how to shine the light where it needs to be shined, and then to say, yes, I just need You to agree with me about that. I can take care of it. And I want You to bring that to me with an expectation, not just of cleansing because you messed up, but of strength to become a different person. I want You to have more of me so that you can gain strength and not be like that anymore. I want to set you free from it. Praise God. It's a simple truth, isn't it? Is anybody here that needs this? Yeah. I had strong reason this morning to say, this is not a day for me to get up. This was for me. But it's for all of us, isn't it? Isn't the Lord merciful and loving and kind in all that He does? And He has indeed given us everything in Christ, like Steve said. Praise God. But if we're going to experience that, we're going to have to come to a knowledge of our need. I don't need a Savior until I realize I'm a sinner. I don't realize I need to grow unless He shows me the areas where I need to grow. So is He mad at me when He does that? He is loving and kind and merciful. And we need to love Him and reach out to Him and say, thank You, Heavenly Father. Thank You, Father, for Your love, for Your love for showing me all this that I didn't even know I needed. But You did it so I could come into a place of greater freedom and brightness and light. You're more free to live in me and through me. And I can help other people, they can help me, and this fellowship is just going to get stronger and stronger, and the light is going to get brighter and brighter. But it breaks down to the simplicity of walking in the light, not hanging back in the shadows and pretending, but walking in the light and saying, Lord, shine Your light all around me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God.